Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Great dreams do come true. And by the vast grace light of the divine, we have the privilege and honor of having the wonderful world-class visionary composer, recording artist, singer, and healer, and a few other things that we have no job descriptions for yet, Eric Berglund. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. It's my great pleasure to be on your program.
Thank you. And it's my great pleasure just to be with you any time that I have an opportunity. And I really wanted to share not only that you are an example, you are a living example of having your dreams come true, of living your dreams on a daily basis. And that's in every department of your life. And but not only that, you're an example of such lightness and happiness, Eric. And that shines all about you. And I want everyone to have that. So in light of that, and knowing that you have didn't just land this way, I feel that you have keys for people to help them have their dreams come true, help them be the bubbling over enthusiastic childlike bliss and joy that you are. And that it's such a pleasure to be with. And given that, your turn.
Okay, gosh, well, what do you say to that? Well, yeah, I've had many years to come to where I am, and everything, of course, is just continual process. But I was just reflecting, you know, before we had the interview, and I was just outside, and I didn't know what I was going to say, what you were going to ask me, what it was going to be. But I was just feeling so wonderful. My heart was just bubbling over, and I just feel so good and just so grateful for life and just so happy. I live in a beautiful place. I was outside and we have deer on the lawn and turkeys and the sun is shining and the water's in the waterfall and the light is on the angel statues and the cat is her tail is in the air and she's just having so much fun prancing around. And I was just this. I think one of the biggest secrets is just being so grateful for what we have right now, wherever we are, and just being just so grateful. And in one sense, I even though I had life is this great big continuum, and I had since I saw you last, you know, I obviously had manifested many things in my life, but then I had I went through a certain period that was a little more difficult. And I think that we all go through periods that are more difficult, partially through our astrology and partially through planetary conditions. And when things were really difficult, what I did was I went inside and I realized, wow, this is going to happen to me no matter what. I know many people have seen the film The Secret, and we know that we attract into our life based on what's inside us, then that comes on the outside, and we want to change the inside. So when difficulties came up, what I did was I really went inside and then regardless of the appearances, I went inside and changed it, and then everything changed now on the outer again, and things are better than they ever were. And a couple of the things that you could do to change, one is writing.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm taking notes. I always take notes with you.
You always take notes.
What?
Okay. Well, there's so many new tools. Right now, I can't tell you, I'm so thrilled, and it's strange because I get all the emails that everyone else gets about how terrible the world is, and there's just like one petition after another, and each thing we hear seems to be worse than the last one. And if you read all this, it's very easy to get depressed. And then, of course, we have our own stuff come up. So the basic thing is to not believe it.
not believe it and not give it power.
Yeah, it's just not real. Ultimately, everything inside us is light. And when, after all is said and done, all my thinking, all my feeling of everything that we're going through, I feel that what we're, there's been all this talk about the year 2012 coming up, and all the talk about all the changes, the end of the Mayan calendar, the end of the Egyptian calendar. And my sense is what is happening on the Earth is that this is a huge time of change, which of course we all know, but that it's bigger than we were aware of. It's like, not only why does the Mayan cycle end, why does the Egyptian cycle end, why does it end? It's because we're not going to be the same that we were. We're just like liquids change to gas. My feeling is that we're turning into light, and that light is what we have always been, and light is what we're going into. That matter is no longer going to have the be as rigid as it was, and we will be able to fulfill all our dreams on a greater scale than we ever dreamed possible before. But of course, whenever you want to have a dream come true, there are going to be obstacles before it happens, and you have to hold to that belief even stronger.
Oh, that's really good. I'm really glad you brought all of that up, because I feel that we're actually disappearing in one vibration and frequency and reappearing simultaneously
in
a much
one.
Higher frequency and vibration.
Yeah, and that's so those are different words for saying the exact same thing.
Yes. And we know we've been coming from transmuting from a carbon base to a crystalline base. And we know we've been changing our DNA. And you know what, I think a lot of the fears and prophecies and, you know, the world will be flooded, or, you know, all of those things that people have been prophesying, you know, the bees have disappeared, so that means California is going to be underwater and that stuff.
Yeah.
I have always done with that, those kind of predictions. I have always said, no, that is not what I want, and I don't believe that's what God wants, because it's not very happy. And I believe God wants for us what's really happy. So there was a few years ago, people were going around, and I mean some people with credibility and a huge following, and were going around
on the Y2K, and then it didn't happen, right?
That what?
On the Y2K stuff and saying how awful it would be, and then it didn't happen.
And that it would be, you know, there would be vast destruction of, you know, continents, and I said, why? Why will there be that? And they said, because the Earth needs to release, you know, some of these pent-up energies. And I said, well, you know, I would like that to be done in a joyous and harmonious and loving way. And so if the Earth needs to, you know, let off some steam or whatever, how about if we have unprecedented tulips and all the spring flowers? This was in September, and I said, how about if all of the bulbs bloom again, and that will let off a lot of energy, and it'll be a beautiful way. And people reported to me all over the country that they saw tulips and daffodils and hyacinths and things that you only see in the early spring.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, everything is really different, you know, and things are a reflection of what, everything is vibration. So if a number of people feel and think the same way, then it can really put it out and it can change things. I know there's a big day in July that some people are promoting, and I forget the exact day right now, but I'll put it
is
on
it
my
777?
Yeah. So if everyone, you know, thought of peace that 1 hour, of course that'll help bring peace.
But
right now, you know, there might be some changes, but all the changes are for good, however they are, and we can shift the changes. you know, to, and what I feel right now is that what's real important is to, it's like when you, so much, there are many ways where you think of water, and you have waves, and when the wave comes, you can see it coming, and you could just have it just topple you over, or you can see the wave, and you can, you could just walk out of the water, not have it do anything, or you're with the wave, you can jump with the wave, and you go with the wave, you can ride with the wave. There's so many things that you can do when you see the wave coming. And right now, there are energies that are coming on the earth that have been set to come to the earth for a long, long time, and they are beginning to reach the earth. And the first waves of this energy are already touching it, and it's going to become stronger and stronger and stronger. So the what I feel the best way is to connect with the waves ahead of time so the wave doesn't knock you over. You become one with the wave, and then everything is everything can be beautiful. We don't know exactly, no one knows exactly how it's going to be, but we know how powerful our thoughts and feelings are, and we can program that the best take place.
Well, absolutely, and let's do that now. And also, you know, you believe where two or more are gathered together, they may ask what they will, and it shall be done.
Right. So part of the energies that are coming in are star energies. And this is very, very old. In the Renaissance, there were beautiful, beautiful beams that were burned at the stake for talking about bringing in the star energies. And they were just reviving what had been done from Egypt, which goes way back into prehistory and antiquity. The three star systems that are affecting the Earth the most right now are Sirius, the Pleiades, and the Great Bear. And part of one of the stars of the Great Bear is the forces of evolutionary change. And I was giving doing some teaching in Holland, and everyone there was coughing and coughing and coughing. And I realized that just the depleted uranium that America has bombed in Iraq has gone around the world, increased lung cancer up 50%. And I was thinking about all the negative stuff that's just going on. And then I realized, well, if we call on the power of evolutionary change, we take that energy. I see it as like a beautiful light that's made up of almost crystalline energy. And as it turns from one way to another, you see rainbows just coming out of it, like when sunlight comes on water, or when you see, like in the snow, and the sun glistens in the snow, and all these rainbows come out of it. That kind of energy, and you feel it, that it's the power of evolutionary change, then you draw it down, and you weave it all around. We can weave new lungs so that our lungs are not affected by anything that's out there. We weave it around our heart. We weave it around every part of us. And I'm so thrilled with this that I just got through making a CD called Creating Healing. And it is the most powerful
healing?
Creating healing. Of course, you know, as we always have to say with healing, that if you have anything, you have to go to your doctor and don't claim anything. But the effects of this CD, it won't be completely ready until August, but you look at my website and then you can have it. Already the few people that have heard it, it's absolutely changed everything in their lives. There's like an energy that comes through, and it's talking about bringing in these powers of evolutionary change, and where you just feel this evolutionary change reweaving every part of you.
Well, it needs to happen on every level of all kingdoms, you know, everything
right
here.
Have you heard about Anastasia, the Anastasia books?
No.
They are absolutely wonderful. You may remember that there was one of Edgar Casey's prophecies was that the great hope of the world would come out of Russia. Did you ever read that? And right, and now there's a fellow who was in Russia, and he's Russian, and he went up. He had heard about the cedars. You know that the in Siberia, they say it's one of the purest places on the earth because there have been no chemicals there. There have been no chemtrails. There's nothing that's been there. It's just pure, pristine, pristine. And the cedars carry this incredible energy. And by wearing the cedar, it completely affects you. Well, this guy went there to try to get the oil from the cedars to, you know, to try to bring it to people and all of that. And he met this beautiful lady who's grandparents, her grandfather and great-grandfather raised her, and it goes way, way back, that are totally in one with the earth. Anyway, he wrote all these books about everything that she's taught, and it's created a huge sensation in Russia, and all kinds of people now are going back to the earth and back to the land, and now it's being translated into other languages, and people all over the world are being caught by this. And part the basic thing is going back to being connected with nature. So like you take a seed, if you have a seed and you hold it in your hand so that the seed can just feel your essence and your vibration, and you just, and then it can read whatever you need, and then you put it in the ground and bury it, and then you kind of nurture it, you watch the seed come up, and everything, nature can heal every single thing that we have within us. And but the reason that it can't is it doesn't know us, it doesn't feel us. But if you give it that energy so that it can feel your energy, then it can begin to do this. So there's a whole series of books now that have come out. The you can just look up Anastasia, Google that, and then you'll find these wonderful, wonderful books that teach this whole wonderful way of connecting with nature. Anastasia, yeah, like Anastasia.
Anastasia.
Uh huh. Right.
Okay.
And Eric, the other, yeah.
I'm sorry. Give your website.
My website is www.ericberglund.com, and Eric is spelled with a K, E-R-I-K. Berglund is B-E-R-G-L-U-N-D. So this wonderful music will come out. And you can just, by August for sure. I'm just about to go on a tour, so I can't assemble all the cover and everything until I get back. But it'll be out in August.
Are you going to be playing at WESAC this weekend in Manchester?
Oh, I'll be at the WESAC this weekend, yes.
Yeah, will you be praying there?
Well, I'll pray. You mean as part of my event or part? Or
yeah, are you praying? Oh, you are praying.
Plain. Oh, you said plain. Plain. Oh, yes, I am, yes. Yeah, I'll be there Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. For those of you who have not heard Eric pray, please avail yourself of that gift. They can hear your music on your website too, right?
They sure can.
And
yeah. But everything has just gone to this new level. It's almost like everything I had before is wonderful, but everything now is just this whole new stage. I was just in Sri Lanka and South Africa, and when the need is great, then everything comes forth, and especially when the time is right. It's like you have to plant the seeds at the right time. You plant them in the spring, and then it comes out. If you follow the right times, everything works. And right now is a time for fulfillment for all our dreams, which is what your show is about. And and so also the music is more powerful. I just gave this wonderful concert in Sri Lanka, and they felt it, the reviews in the paper said it was like one of the best concerts they'd ever had in Sri Lanka, and it was just such a gift to get to do that there. They had a big house. They were all eager to come, and they had so many flowers, and it was just, everything was just all set up, and everything was just really right for it. And I've been going just all over. I was in Romania last year, and we went to Transylvania, and we opened all these portals in Transylvania to create all the light coming in. And when we did it, we had rainbows appear all over us. It was just amazing. And we visualized a rainbow like as a V coming down into the whole Iraq area, and the rainbow did the same thing. And now I was just in, I was in Dubai, and my host took me out to Oman, and that's right across the water from Iran. So we were doing all this energy work for Iran, and while we did it, I sang this beautiful song to connect with nature, with the birds, and we hadn't seen any birds, heard no birds, and as soon as I did the bird song, this bird started to sing with me the whole song, and then at the very end, circled all around us, and then flew away. So, there are all these wonderful signs that nature will respond to us, to what we do and to what we think and what we feel. And I'd love to give everyone a tool that you can use right now.
Oh.
So super.
Okay.
And that's connecting with these energies that are coming in. And what you do is you imagine in your third eye, which is the place between your two eyebrows and the point in the center of the head, imagine that there's a light there. And you could see a five-pointed star. And you just let this light begin to spin and spin. And then you see a ray of light go down to just above your right eye and to just above your left eye and let it make a triangle. And then you see light traveling from all these points, this triangle, and you see the light moving faster and faster and very bright. Then you go inside your head to a point between the pineal and pituitary gland, which is just, imagine, you can just say it and you'll be there. And it's right inside your head. And then from that point, you look out through this triangle, almost as if you were a miner and you had one of these funny caps with a torch light on it, a flashlight that would shine in the dark. And then you see that this is a special triangle that burns up all the astral energy. And that's what we're feeling right now. And that's what's out playing in the world, is this astral energy. When the angels look at the earth, they see it covered with all this astral energy. And it's like as if there's just this big cloud all over the earth. And when you fly in a plane, which I do all the time, you fly right above the clouds, and then it's sunny and beautiful. And then you come down to earth, you go through all this cloud and all this smog and fog. And so that's on the inner planes. That's what we're going through, and that's what all these emails are about and everything, is all this this kind of energy. And by holding this triangle, and if you do this, if you feel this triangle right around your head, and then you burn through it, you can feel it burning the area all around you so that you become clear. If you do this before you make a telephone call, before you have an interview, before a job, anytime you think during the day, it'll clear all the energy around you and make things clear.
So let me get this straight. Let's just recap. You focus on your third eye, and then you see a star there. And then you send a ray down to over your right eye, your left eye. You make a triangle there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from your pineal gland, you see like a miner's light. Is that rainbow light coming out and going out through that?
No, you're just looking through it.
You're just looking through it.
Yeah, but it's not actually a pineal. Between the pineal and the pituitary, there's a light. It's almost like... it's like sort of the seed. They say that like everything is come from a seed, and we're come from a seed as well too. And that's where the seed is in our human spirit. When the soul dies, you know, it weighs just a little bit less. That's the seed of life. And from that point, that's where you look. You're just looking out. You don't have to think of rainbows or anything. You're just looking out. And you're looking out through then this triangle. And then through that triangle, then that creates all the light. And then that's light in front of you everywhere. Now, but I guess I kind of complicated things a little earlier by talking about the forces of evolutionary change. So what you do with that is from the same point inside your head, this is a point of light where you can begin to shift. Like you said, we're at the beginning, that we're shifting from one dimension to another. This is that place where you can begin to work with these shifts in dimensions, is this point inside your head. And so you go into that point, and from that point, then you go above through the top of your head, way out your head, and you can, with your consciousness, because everything is thought and feeling, then you go way up above your head, and then you can draw on the forces of evolutionary change. And then you bring them back down. You draw that energy all the way back down, and that's where you bring in this rainbow color that I was talking about. And then you let it just go through your whole system, through your mind, through your thoughts, through your feelings, through your, you know, lungs, stomach, heart, every part of you, and especially any part of you that you feel is blocked or has pain or is not functioning the absolute joy and bliss that you want it to be in.
Wow.
You can almost feel it, huh?
Yeah, I can feel it. And Eric, seems to me that when you hear about one of these things, you know, these dire predictions or something, it would be to just visualize that rainbow light coming into that situation, and as
yes.
And as well as that, to call the violet flame and to ask it to be harmonious and orderly and
sure. What you can do, another way of working with it, is just to see it right in front of this triangle. You create this triangle, and then you can see whatever it is that you're worried about, whatever you've heard about, and you see it like right in front of there, and then you just let the light come through, then you draw up again to the power of evolutionary change, you draw all this rainbow light come down, and you let it go through it. And again, as you say, you can draw the violet light through it, but you can also draw all the different colors through it. You can draw sapphire blue, you can draw the green healing ray, all the pink love, because love heals everything. Love is the greatest power there is. There's nothing greater than love. And so you can use all the colors. And then you just see it, and then just imagine that it just dissolves.
And then it becomes what it should be, which is
better than whatever
produces.
We could think.
Yeah,
better than whatever we could feel.
And whatever produces happiness for all life.
Yeah.
So you're saying, and we're all saying, and we're all wanting for things to transmute into loveliness.
Right. We want beauty. We want everything to be. Beauty is such an important word in my life. I have one of my first albums was called Beauty, and then I redid it after CDs came out as Angel Beauty, and I've thought about beauty a lot. And you can't have beauty if any part of life is suffering, then it's not beautiful, unless you can look beyond the picture and think that all this suffering, beauty comes. But inside is beauty. We want everything to be beautiful and have the paradise. We've longed for it so long, and there's a part of us that's always known it. You know, before we came in, we were seeded with it. You know, this whole image of the seed and how powerful that is, it's in the seed of before we ever came to Earth, is the seed of paradise and beauty. And
yeah,
so,
and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just thinking, the other day I interviewed Sharon Callahan from Mount Shasta.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things she was saying is that that the thing in the Bible that says, "And the lion shall lie down with the lamb," is that if each of us, that really represents where we have come to total peace and balance. And that means everyone loving and honoring every part of life. And she said, when humans, who are the biggest predators, quit being predatory, all animals will too.
I know, it's so true. This lady, Anastasia, that I mentioned earlier, she has like a bear for her pillow. All the animals follow her bidding, because when you're one with nature, nature totally responds with you. And so that's the way it was meant to be. Sharon is a dear friend of mine, and she once gave me a book to read called Little Tyke, and it was about a beautiful lion whose the mother had two cubs, and she didn't like being in captivity, so she thought, you know, she would kill her cubs, you know, so they wouldn't have to be in this awful captivity like she was. And one of them died, but the other one managed to get it out, and they gave it to these beautiful, loving people, and they raised it, and it was raised with humans as if they were their parents. And this beautiful lion called Little Tyke, it was a female lion, was a vegetarian. And she actually would be with the lamb. And she was the most, I literally cried when I read the book. It was just so beautiful. And she was just such an inspiration to so many people, and was kind of like a harbinger into the world that we're in, that this can take place. You know, a lion can be with a lamb. And you know, we have so many people, I've led many tours where we go and we swim with the dolphins and we connect with all that dolphin energy. Well, just now I was in South Africa, and you know that they have workshops where you go and you're with lions.
You could
bring in the lion energy, and you know that kingly energy. We were out in a safari, and we were right out with the lions, and they were walking all around us. You know, one leap, and they could have been right on top of us, and we would have been gone. And,
yeah.
But you know, we were all just, you know, barely
loving
breathing,
them.
And just loving them, and then they just walked around us, and it was just. What a trip that was. It was just so amazing to be with these lions. But I would love to have been with this lion, Little Tyke. Of course, Little Tyke has passed on now, but
isn't that
incredible?
Yes, and I really want that book, and I ordered 5 of them the other day, and they sent me back my check and said it was out of print. So
okay.
If you know where I could get one, I would love to have that book. In fact, I order one from the universe, and I'd like to give it to some other people too. And now, I know you have a vegetarian cat, right?
Well, I did, but she's not vegetarian anymore. Is she? You know, again, well, this is where you know you let go. She, when she was little, she wanted to be vegetarian. She told us very, very, very clearly that that was what she wanted to be. And then, just before this last trip, she just didn't touch her food, and she just didn't want it, and was kind of like, well, finally, just a little bit of it. And I tuned in, and she wanted to have more. She wanted to have some meat in her diet. You know, a lot of times cats do have that. So, you know, I didn't force my belief system on her, and I didn't even, because I'm vegetarian myself, and even at the beginning I wouldn't have, except that she wanted it. So I listened to her, and now she's having, you know, we found just the very best meat cat food that we special order, and she loves it. She just gobbles it right up, and so that's what she wanted. And so I think it's important to listen and hear, you know, what animals and what people want, and not put our belief system on another living being.
That's giving freedom.
Yeah.
And all of us want freedom so much. You know, I think a good way to think about animals is to say, would I want to be an animal that belonged to me? If I was a cat, would I want to be my cat? And I would.
I would too. Oh, good. I guess our cats just have the life of.
They do,
possible.
And you know, one of the things our cats have told us is that part of their job in the world is to transmit the consciousness of being honored and treated and loved and understood the way that we are with our cats.
Yeah.
And
I feel so grateful for that thing, because we're doing that here as well, not only with the cats, but like as I said, we had deer and turkeys here. And you think of the turkeys, the terrible thing that they go through in America, you know, the awful conditions before, you know, especially before Thanksgiving and everything. And here's one little place where turkeys can just, you know, go gobble, gobble and go all over and have free reign of everything. And our neighbors do, on all the different sides of us, do the same thing. And none of us have dogs. We just have cats or nothing. So that the turkeys and the deer are just free to do it. It's wonderful to have certain places on the earth where the animals can be totally free.
Yes, and you know, one of the things Sharon told me to do is to do some altars for animals. And put them out in the wild, different places, and put some flower essences and sacred water. And I've been collecting things for that, crystals and St. Francis pictures. And I'm going to do prayers, and I'm getting a prayer from Sharon. And I really want, the light where the lion shall lie down with the lamb thing, I've been focusing on that, and I get so upset if there's like something on the animal planet where they're, you know, a lion attacks a gazelle or something. I hate that stuff.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great when they don't need to do that? Because they won't do that once the earth is shifted.
Yes, it will be great. And I am so asking for that. And I'm so asking, I really notice the ways that we haven't been awake about this. Like, I'll give you an example. A very famous actress was on the front of Animal Wellness magazine for her, work for animals. And then the same month, I saw her in a centerfold doing a cosmetic ad in Glamour magazine for L'Oreal, which is one of the biggest animal testing cosmetics companies, and I was thinking, how could she do that? And then
maybe
I was thinking,
know.
Pardon me?
Maybe she didn't know.
Well, maybe she didn't know, but I'm also thinking that there's a lot of unconsciousness that we have, like
right. The
use of leather, and I wouldn't dream of using your skin on my checkbook.
Yeah.
That would be so rude. But we're just so rude to animals.
Just something on that. I read a real interesting thing once about cows. and they were saying, cows said that one of their purposes was for man, and that they wanted to have their essence go into man, and that if you didn't eat cows and if you didn't wear cows at all, somehow you should have something cow to touch so that their essence could come to you. And that the main thing, and they realized, that mankind would take from them, and that they were okay with that. But what they wanted was respect. They wanted to have everything be done with dignity and respect and with love and all of that. And that was an interesting thing for me to hear, because, I was so... into the other thing, you can't do anything at all. So I saw there was another little side to that, and I thought, well, gosh, do I have any cow energy in my life, I'm a vegan, and dairy doesn't really agree with me, and so I don't even have milk products or anything, and I could even kind of down the cows, like cow milk. We should have people milk, not cow milk, that kind of turned my head around that, wow, cows are beautiful. Everything is beautiful. One of the things that Anastasia says that's so neat is that every single thing has a purpose. Every single thing has a purpose in life, even cockroaches. what can they do? They're terrible. Let's just get rid of them. But they have the purpose, like they get rid of things that we can't even see with our eyes, and then cleans it up. And then if you have too many cockroaches, you don't want them around, you just get a frog and put the frog in there, and that takes care of the cockroaches. Everything has
a purpose. You mean like a toad? Like a toad?
Yeah. A frog or a toad, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Are you there? Are you kind of fuzzy?
I'm fuzzy? Well, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, there's kind of an echo and a little fuzzy. So once in a while, Don said they always have trouble with the computers for my show. And
oh, dear. Well, I hear you fine.
Okay. Well, the cow energy I was thinking about is, do you know about the monastery on the Waialua River in Hawaii where they have the sacred cows? And I have a picture of this cow, and she wears a lei. And she has a child, and her little calf is so sweet. And he knew he was sacred. He knew he was sacred. This picture of him, he was looking into your eyes with such love.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think the reason I brought that up is that I want to build a contrast here. And one of the things I've been thinking about, when I think of the lion lying down with the lamb, I sort of tune into this frequency. It must be the joy and peace of the great, great silence, because I can feel it at every level of my being.
Yeah.
And how I see myself is this beautiful light being, and I'm with Jerry, my twin flame, and we're these beautiful light beings, and we're in a kayak, and we're in this beautiful mountain stream, and it's so still, and we're just like slipping through the water magically without hardly even making a ripple. And it feels like that's the energy I want to feel in the world. And I feel that that's what we're asking for. And I want to ask for it to be done gently and lovingly and caressingly. I want the awakening to be like an angel wing would feel on a baby's cheek that we want to wake up from a nap. You know, I'm really asking for that, Eric. And I feel like that is the frequency and vibration of your music. It's the frequency and vibration of heaven. It's the frequency and vibration of flowers. And it's the frequency and vibration of angels. And so I'm really asking for that to be interwoven with all of these things that need to take place.
Yeah. Well, it always begins, again, first inside ourselves, and then it reflects outer. I've been calling for my own aura and all my organs to be, you know, infused with all this light, but also like you said, you know, this beautiful calm and everything. I mean, like flowers. Flowers are so incredible because from ancient times, shamans have always used flowers in ceremonies. I was just in Sri Lanka where they had, we went to some of the large Buddhist temples, and oh, all the flowers that were there was just so amazing. You know, where you put the petals and all these things. Flowers have been used to take on energy that's not perfect within us. And you can have flowers in your aura. You know, you can think of the most beautiful flowers, the most wonderful fragrances, and you can just imagine them in your aura all around you, so that everywhere you go, you're this garden. Which is really beautiful. You know, one of the things that I've been having fun playing with is that where I live is very beautiful.
Yes, it is.
But then I go on the road, and I'm on the road more than I'm at home. And I'm in all kinds of different places, and I don't have any judgment at all. I'm just going around. But I thought, well, why can't I have beauty on the road, too? And so I've been doing this whole thing inside me with my aura, with all these flowers in my aura, feeling these tiny little devas. I call on the great master angel, and then calling on, having this great, great master angel call on these wonderful tiny diva angels to go through every part of my aura, everywhere I go, all around. And so then everywhere I go, wherever place I'm staying, the walls are made of light, the atoms are made of light, all the area, the space around the atoms is all filled with light everywhere I am. And now I've been in the most beautiful places that you can imagine. I slept in a tree house. I woke up in the morning, I was all surrounded with monkeys. It was so beautiful. And I slept in...
Were they friendly?
Yeah, they were very friendly. I was enclosed, so they couldn't come in. If they come in, they can take anything they want and throw it everywhere. But it was fun. I slept in a beautiful place overlooking the oceans with flames coming up all around it, and looking at sunsets and things, and just everywhere I went, even when I was in big cities, I would be in a beautiful space with nature, just right where I was around it, and I couldn't believe it. Pretty much, actually, every single place I went on my last tour was absolutely beautiful.
And you take your beauty with you, Eric.
What?
And you take your beauty with you.
Yeah, you take your beauty with you. Right.
And
so I'm saying we can all do that. We can all do that.
I know. And you have been so focused on giving out beauty that it has to come back to you now because it is the time of fulfillment. It is the time of fulfillment of our dreams.
Yeah.
And so,
you know something? Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Here's something just really fun. Talking about all this beauty and creating it wherever you want, I was into the phase of imagining a halo over my head. You know, like the saints would have a halo. And and through this halo, then that like you're in this beam, that light comes down and you can also go up into the upper spheres more. It's almost like a way to
move
through the dimensions. Yeah, it's like an elevator. And it's just a wonderful thing to do, and I could just really feel this halo on my head. Well, I was doing this. And then I have a wonderful fellow called Tommy who does my website, and he does all these pictures. I don't ask him what to do. I mean, he does it all. You know, I don't. And he put a picture of me with a halo on. And I saw this picture with a halo. I thought, oh no, you have to take that off. People will think I have this horrible ego. Take it off. And then I have to. And then I thought, oh my goodness, that's just what I've been visualizing. And he just outpictured what I was visualizing, and he put it on there. And I thought, well, isn't that great? I mean, I could think of myself with a halo. And why doesn't everybody have halos? You know, so it can be an example for all of us to have halos on our head. If you thought of every single person that you knew and saw as if they had a halo over their head, how different they would be acting and how different your impressions would be of them.
Well, and that's the greatest service we can give, because the second coming is the time when we all realized we are the Christ. We are the Christ. And so you're awakening the sevenfold flame in their forehead, which has been shut down. And that is the crown, or illumined living, you know. And we are coming to the time where we all will be self-luminous. And that is really the job, is to become a sun presence. And so I think it's a very wonderful thing that you're doing, and I think that the reason he did that picture of you is because it is acknowledged that you are that, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but we all do. We all do. And as soon as you come and you take, I mean, it's nice you acknowledge it for yourself. You know, we have to do that. But then we acknowledge that everyone has it, and then it feels okay for you to do it too, you know, which is really great.
Yes, it is.
So I see a halo right over you.
Thank you, and likewise.
And I imagine halos over everyone who's hearing this program.
Well, I've actually had a meditation that I saw all of us on two levels. And I saw us on the earthly level, and then I saw us on an angelic level, and those of us who were still asleep did not have a crown, but those of us who were awake had a crown of light on our heads. And that then I saw the angels awakening people by just walking around them and sort of touching their cheek and speaking to them softly. And as soon as the person woke up on that level, on the earthly level, they had a crown. And then
That's a wonderful vision dream.
And then
meditation.
They could touch other people, and their crown was, it was just sort of like a microwave thing, like ding, you're awake. And it was so lovely. It was so lovely. And it is time for everyone to get their crown.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I do in workshops. We've been visualizing our crowns. I feel that symbols are just so, so powerful. They say that when the energy comes down from the Godhead and it comes down into us, it comes through symbols before it comes into the mental plane. And the mental plane, of course, then we imbibe it with imbue it, give it a thought, and then we have thoughts. But before we have the thought realm, it's symbols. And so that's why they are so powerful. And a crown has always represented wisdom. And of course, the world needs wisdom very much. And we all say the world needs love, but that love has to be combined with wisdom, and it has to be combined with the right use of power to really be effective. So I just love the symbolism, the crown, and working with the crowns. And so I work with the crown for the wisdom, of course, with the heart for the heart, and a sword for power. And now I have a new symbol that I love, and that's for our spirit. Guess what that is?
Star?
Close, but not it. Almost.
Okay.
You're in the heavenly realms.
Sun?
Close? No, almost. But
I don't
wings.
Know. I give up.
Our wings. Wings.
Wings?
Yeah. I feel like wings kind of represent our spirit. And, you know, we all have that area right behind us where our shoulder blades are. And if it's a real interesting place. In Jinshin Jitsu, they say that's the point where it's where we hold abundance in our bodies. And it's interesting because abundance can only come when you give it away, when you connect with other people. So you can't put your hands right behind your back. You can kind of, if you're sort of double-jointed and do a lot of yoga, you can put your fingers there, but you can't put palm right on it. But you can have somebody else put your palms right on your shoulder blades in the back, and it feels so good, and it balances your abundance, and it also balances your blood pressure. So whether you're too low or too high, it puts everything in the right space. Well, that's where the wings are. That's where your spirit is and where it soars. And
say again where it is and how you do that
for
someone else.
Right in the, yeah, well, if you have someone right in front of you, in you know, their back is to you, you just put your hands right on their shoulder blades going down. So your fingers are at the very top, and it just goes down. And it feels so good. You must have someone do that to you. And everyone that's listening, oh, boy, please do it. It feels so good. You want to take that person with you everywhere you go. But really, every person that touches you there, it works. So it's just really, really wonderful. But then what you can do on your own is you imagine your wings there. You feel your wings just sprouting. We all metaphorically have wings, just like the crown you saw in your vision, because we have things that are on the inner planes and we have things on the outer. We know that that we can watch television and radio because they're radio waves. We don't see it, but they're still there. So the same thing, we have these crowns can be on our head whether we see them or not. These wings can be behind there. So if you visualize these wings behind you, it gives you like a balance. And it helps turn your life into magic. It's also going into the back of your heart. And the heart is where the magic comes in our life, where we can lift our life into the realm of dreams that you're talking about and lift it out of the boxes that through society and through all the ages that we put ourselves in. And we can go out of that box into this realm of spirit and other dimensions of magic. So imagine these beautiful wings behind you just soaring out, and then you'll connect with your spirit.
Woohoo! Well, I was doing that while you spoke, and it's pretty powerful. Wow, Eric, you know, I always ask people to give something that people can use right now, and you have so many of those. You give so much, and you're so so precious, and I thank you so much for all you are and give and do. We need to wrap up now, but I wanted to call you right after the show if I could and
sure.
Talk to you for just a couple minutes. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and I want to ask you to come back again. And I think there's still availability at the WESAC festival in Mount Shasta. If you want to go and be with Eric and hear him sing and play his harp. And
yeah, so
what else are you
come
doing
on
coming
Sunday
up?
Morning. Oh, I have a lot of wonder. If anyone wants to come at the last minute, I have a wonderful magical trip through Ireland. You can come with me to magical Ireland in May, coming up now. And then I also in June I have a wonderful whole week in the Pyrenees Mountains in France. We're going to have a whole week where we're just going to tune to become the greatest light beings that we can and do everything we can to help change the earth. And then in and then I have many places I'm going to be playing in Europe. There's a big angel conference in Hamburg, and I'm going to be in Ibiza for the first time, and so on. And then I then I'll be back in America in July, and I'll be doing some events here in Mount Shasta. If you go to Shalimar, www.shalimar.com, Shalimar Productions. Everything is on my website. And I have some wonderful events I'm doing with him. And I'm also going to be in August with James von Prague and with Michael Tamura at a wonderful weekend here in Mount Shasta. So this summer there are various times you could come up to Mount Shasta that I'll be part of what's happening here.
Well, thank you, Eric, and thank you for listening, and we'll be back with Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True, next Monday at 2 o'clock, and till then, happy trails to you, until we meet again, happy trails to you. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Men, women, children, and yee-haw!
Blessings.